Leaning Toward Wisdom, episode 4129.
It seems like out of nowhere, I'm coming.
Her name is Mindy Smith. It is a 2004 CD. You can buy it as a digital download. The name of the record is One Moment More. The name of the song is Falling. And yes, once again, I have stolen the lyrics from this rather spectacular singer-songwriter, in my opinion. When I've almost had enough, something about you draws me back again. It's episode 4129 of Leaning Toward Wisdom. Mindy Smith, 2004 record, One Moment More. I will go ahead and forewarn you that anything that you buy from Ms. Smith is worthwhile. Yep, she may have done a Christmas record. It seems to me that she did, maybe she did too. It seems to me that she did a couple of Christmas records that I don't have. But everything else that the girl has produced, I bought, and you should too. It's going to be a Mindy Smith intensive show today. Hey, welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here. I hope that you will visit the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. When you go over there, if you care, you can join the Facebook group. It's free, perfectly free, perfectly innocuous, perfectly entertaining, by the way. Filled with cartoons and music and stuff that I kind of like. And occasionally stuff that you kind of like. But if you kind of like me, then you probably kind of like the stuff I like. That's how this rolls. But I'm glad that you're here. Happy New Year. Today is January the 12th, 2018. Technically the first show of the year. Really, kind of, sort of. When I've almost had enough, something about you draws me back again. So sings Mindy Smith. Words matter. The meaning and the context of words matter. I've had it. I've had it. Who among us has not said that? And who among us has not probably said that almost every day of our life? Right? You've said it. I've had it. I've had it. I've had it with this. I've had it with that. I've had it with life. I've had it. We've uttered that phrase more times than we can probably count. And even after we say it, we discover, no, you haven't had it. Because here you still are. You have endured more. From that moment that you, the last time that you uttered, which may have just been seconds ago, I've had it. I've absolutely had it. No, you haven't. There's more that you can have. And life's going to show it to you. Life's going to dole it out to you. I don't think I've ever said, I may have, but I don't remember a time where I've said, you know, I've almost had enough. I've had enough, but I don't know that I've almost had enough. I don't know that I've articulated that I've almost had enough. I have articulated that I've had enough. And really, that's the funny thing, because that's really what we, that is the truth of it. The truth of it is I've almost had enough. Not quite, because I know there's more coming. I know it's going to get worse. But I've almost had enough. You know, mostly I think we have probably joined forces in feeling the same way, and that, you know, we just feel like we're close to breaking. And yet we find that there's a lot more flexibility there than we thought we had. Or not. There is something to breaking. People do break. I've seen it. You've seen it. Maybe it's happened to you. That flexibility, that endurance, that capability, we think about it in terms of not being exhausted, but it can be exhausted. It can absolutely be exhausted. And I'm mostly mindful of people. It can be exhausted when we're not at full strength. There was a story over the holiday of the number of suicides off the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, and a movement that is afoot by, led by some parents of a girl who committed suicide, and her closest friends had no clue. I mean, no clue at all. No one suspected anything. The girl seemed to be coping perfectly fine. And the parents got very involved, as you would imagine, parents of a child who had committed suicide would, in learning all they could, and realized that hundreds and hundreds of people have jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge. And based on brain science and input from folks who know, a lot of suicides are impulsive. It's a moment in time. And if that moment in time can pass, then even people who are under extraordinary stress and strain and not fully, even in their, under the power of their own capacities, that moment can evaporate. And so they are proposing to put a kind of a safety barrier, a net, if you please, that is some feet below the ledge during the entire span of this bridge. And, of course, it's prompting all kinds of debate, particularly among people who, well, it'll change the aesthetics of the bridge, as though that really is the most important thing. Their hope is to put this barrier there, this safety net, so that if people are under this impulse, if people have had enough, and in that one moment, in that one impulsive moment, they've had enough and they make a decision, then it's not a life-altering decision. It's not a decision that will cost them their life. I've almost had enough. I've almost had enough to quit. Almost. There have been some other things that I have done in life where I have quit. And quitting wasn't really so much born from an almost having had enough. It was born probably more from, I don't know, just didn't want to do it anymore kind of a thing. I know quitting is a horrible thing, and we live in a society and a world that really poo-poos quitting. But there have been quite a few things that I've needed to quit. You know, living a sedentary life a number of years ago, not going to the gym. Well, I quit doing that. I quit my carboholic ways back in June of last year. I needed to quit that. But then there are other things that are completely productive things, perhaps, that we quit. Because maybe we want to quit them. Maybe we don't find them enjoyable anymore. Maybe we don't feel like we're very good at it. It doesn't make us feel very good, so we quit. High achievers fascinate all of us. People who endure, people who overcome, people who push themselves to the limit that most of us have never experienced. I mean, these are people that we look at, and they just seem they're special. They're special, right? They're extraordinary. Well, they seem that way. They just seem so different from you and so different from me, don't they? And maybe they are. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're just like you. Maybe they're just like me, except they have been put into circumstances, or maybe they have put themselves into circumstances where they have been able to prove something that the rest of us just have not yet proven. Think of Navy SEALs. Think of Ironman triathletes. Think of the MIT or the Harvard undergrad who's working really hard toward a degree. People struggling, fighting the fight every day. Ultimately, overcoming, ultimately. Conquering.
These hand-me-downs I'm wearing are worn at the knee, color faded. Trying to find a reason to keep on crying. Yeah. I'm just a little girl, I'm raggedy, yeah. Making believe I'm happy, hey, raggedy, yeah. Falling apart at the seams.
From the same record, Mindy Smith, 2004, One Moment More. Name of the song is Raggedy Ann. And I think sometimes we live our lives and we kind of feel like Raggedy Ann. Or Andy. In my case. Maybe in yours. Tattered. Torn. Coming apart at the seam. Just, feeling like we've almost had enough. We've just almost had enough. You've read books, you've seen movies, you've watched TV shows, and the stories are always the same. You know this, and still you watch. The story is 99% struggle. 99% battling. It's just one obstacle after another. Always the hero, always the main character, finding some way to rise above it, and sometimes only to find, well, there it is again, the new one. There's a new nemesis, a new obstacle, bigger, badder, bolder, tougher, harder, more challenging than the one before. It's like, man, this guy, this gal, just can't get a break. That's the story. 99% of the story is that. And we watch this person knocked down for the umpteenth time. And the end of the story, the very tail end of this story, the 1% is the victory. It's how the story ends. And somehow we realize deep down, I think, as we watch this unfold or as we read this, that's not the end. It just makes for a good ending. It's kind of a Hollywood version of an ending because a story's got to end. Reality is that no sooner does the screen fade to black and this hero celebration happening, but the hero, unbeknownst to us, then after the story is over, they fall, they break both legs. The battle intensifies for another year beyond the end of the story, and it's just ongoing. It's ongoing. Why are we captivated? Why are we captivated by somebody else's struggle, but we can so despise our own? That really is the point today. It's the point in choosing this lyric. When I've almost had enough, something about you draws me back again. And these terms matter. When I've almost had enough of what? Enough not to do something dastardly, not to hurt yourself. If those impulses are even remotely in your mind, get help. Plenty of people to call, plenty of hotline numbers around. Get the help. But when we've almost had enough in the sense that we all mean that and that we all sense that, and something about you draws me back again, something about you. Well, in her case, maybe she's speaking of a particular person. For me, the you there is much more, I don't know, metaphorical. The you could be some pursuit. It could be a person, I guess. It could be a relationship. But not for me. When I've almost had enough, it's just, you know, you just are exhausted with the chase and the struggle. And yet it's something that at some point when you embarked on it, you thought worthwhile, not going to be easy. But how many times have people lamented, whether it's a business idea, whether it's a relationship, no matter what it is, that I had no idea it would be this hard. I thought it would be hard, but I didn't think it would be this hard. We can be so captivated in looking at somebody else's story and watching them overcome this adversity, and yet we can look in the mirror and we can just absolutely despise our own. We will read a book for hours and hours on end. We will watch a television show. We'll watch a movie. We will hang on every second of the struggle. And what we're doing largely is we're cheering for this character to keep pushing forward. We're cheering them on. We are fully confident that this character that we are observing their story, we're watching their story, we're reading their story, we're fully confident, you can do this. You can do this. We don't have a clue who these people are, right? They're characters. We don't know them nearly as well as we know ourselves, or at least as well as we should. Thank you.
You can try to keep me down, you can try to keep me under, but you'll never get my will, you'll never take my will to fight. Cause I was born at the bottom of this mountain I am scaling, and I'll probably climb it, climb it till the day I die. You'll have to take me up, cause you know I won't be going high.
Mindy Smith, One Moment More, 2004 record. The name of the song is Fighting For It All. And fighting and conflict just are the way of life, right? I mean, these things that we pursue. And I was thinking about some of the young people in my life and the games that happen in courtship and dating. Guys and gals that can be fixated kind of on the chase and the hunt of it all and the game of it all. And without the game, for an awful lot of people, it's just, it's not nearly as much fun. I was never bent that way, but I do understand enough about human beings and human psychology to get it and to understand that conflict and that struggle and that fight for something and how that can energize us. There's just this tipping point, right? I mean, there's this point that you think you want it to be easy, but you really don't. You just don't want it to be so stinking hard. You know, there are times that you're like, man, I've almost had enough. I'm ready for some success to be seen. I'm ready for some positive things to happen. As I've been thinking about this and mulling this over and realizing how captivated we are by the struggles of the people, and yet we can so despise our own, I then have to realize that in our life, the feelings and the language changes. As I'm reading a book or as I'm looking on a screen and I'm watching this story unfold of this person and their struggle, and I can catch myself completely believing they can do this, they can overcome whatever this is that they're facing, and I can be cheering them, and then I can, in a nanosecond, shift gears and look at my own life and realize that I catch myself not cheering, but jeering. And don't you? Sometimes. We can look in our own lives and our own struggles, and we can tell ourselves why things will not work out well at all. And meanwhile, we're watching on this screen or we're reading this story in a book, and we can realize, you can so do this. You got this. And it can be something that is significantly bigger as far as an adversity than anything that may be existing in our real world. And yet we can look at a speed bump that's 2 inches high and think, well, there's just no way. There's no way I'm getting over that thing. Look at that thing. It's 2 inches tall. It will completely derail my life. And yet this fictitious person that we'd have no idea who they are, we don't know, all we know is whatever the writer or the storyteller has told us. And yet we're confident they can do this. You know, they're facing this 100-foot wall mountain. Easy. You can do this. You got this. We just can't conquer our own little 2-inch hill. What's up with that? What is up with that? Well, the feelings, the emotions, the ownership. That's why. Because it's your life. This is my life. And that's why every disaster, every potential disaster, well, that gets real serious consideration. In fact, worse yet, the possible disasters, the possible things that can go wrong, they're not just possible. No, we think about them so much that we think, no, you know what? They're probable. It's probable that that's going to happen. It's probable that this horrible, horrible, horrible outcome is really going to be, that's going to be the outcome. That's going to be my outcome. I don't know. I don't know if it's the woe is me syndrome or what it is, but it seems to be how an awful lot of us are wired, doesn't it? So what's going on? What's going on? Because you and I both know at a logical level that our lives are stories comprised mostly of battling through adversity. It's the stories that you watch. It's the stories you read. It's the stories that you are compelled to consume. And it's your story. It's my story. But we have been fooled, for whatever reason, into thinking, well, I'm alone. And yet we're surrounded by these stories. I mean, these are the stories that we watch. These are the stories that we consume. These are the stories that we craft. These are our stories. Oh, but other people don't endure what we endure. Nobody knows. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And yes, they do. Yes, they do. But we look around. We see people Instagramming stuff and Snapchatting stuff and posting pictures of great vacations on Facebook. And we think, yeah, look at these people. They're not struggling. They've got it so much better than me. They are so much luckier. They are so much wiser. They're just a lot more of whatever it is that I ain't got.
Baby doll, my baby doll, you're just fine the way you are. So what's the matter? Where's the problem? They don't love you, 'cause they don't know you like I do. Who's
like a lily. You're just wild. You're as wild as they come. So what's the trouble? Where's the problem? You're just a growing, beautiful someone. Can you see? It's amazing what you do to me. You took my heart and made me feel things I never felt before. It's changing me. Moves direction so suddenly.
Mindy Smith, One Moment More. The song is It's Amazing. It is amazing. Your life, your story, it is amazing. You have overcome some difficulties and problems. One thing that kind of got me thinking about this, I've done some video stuff, really just as side projects. Sometimes these have been, I was thinking back years ago, just some memorial kinds of videos and things that I have participated in. Somebody's passed on and, you know, we assemble these collection of photographs and things, and we try to tell some kind of a story. And you're talking about, you know, encapsulating somebody's life in a real rather brief moment in time. I talked some weeks ago, the last funeral that I preached, the man was 96 years old. And we spent a total of about 30 minutes. I spent 10 to 15 minutes. You summarize a life in 15 minutes. I mean, this podcast on average goes well over an hour, an episode. And yet a person lives 96 years on the planet and goes through whatever struggles that a person goes through in 96 years of living. And that's a lot of struggle. And people gather in a room and we spend half an hour, and I mean, there's no way you can't tell the story in 30 minutes. You don't even try to tell the story. And of course, in those moments, you mostly want to fixate on the pleasantries, and you want to fixate on the good times. And I'm always captivated by thinking, however good the good times were, and it's great and they're wonderful, but that wasn't their story. You know that wasn't their story. You've lost people, and I have lost people, and you know that that wasn't their story. And they weren't who they were because everything was great and wonderful, and everything went swimmingly. And they weren't for you in your life because of those things. You think about the people that kind of walked through the trench with you, right? you think about the struggles that you've had and the people that were surrounding you, the people that were standing by your side when you were fighting your fight. It's what made them important. And so when I've almost had enough, something about you draws me back again. It could be people. Oh, yes, it could be people. It absolutely is people. It's people who help us when they sense us and they see us and they hear us almost having enough. But like we as spectators watching the story unfold on the screen or watching it unfold as we read the book, we know they've got more. You can do this. You can so do this. And that's who you are for someone. That's who I want you to be for someone. And that's who you need. We all need this because every single day of our life, we reach this point where we've almost had enough, but we need somebody drawing us back again. Drawing us back again into what? Into a fray? Yeah, maybe. Somebody telling us, you got to keep fighting. Come on, we're all out here fighting. I find that when we can get most discouraged is when we completely lose our sensibilities and our reality that everybody is fighting a fight. And we tend to think they're not. Their fight may not be your fight. It may be a very different fight. It may be a very different obstacle and hurdle, but they've still got one. They've still got one. And so much of it is based on materialism. So much of it is based on financial. So much of it is based on wealth or our perception of what wealth is. Man, look at their house. Look at my house. Look at how they're spending their leisure time. I got no leisure time. It's this comparison that we tend to make when we really want to feel sorry for ourselves and we want to think that other people have got it better. No, their struggle may be different and it may look different and the perspective may be different. Have you thought at all about all of these fat cats who have been accused of really inappropriate conduct and their world is crashing down? Whether it's a bigwig from Hollywood or someone in political arena or any other arena, and you think about however high they were on the mountain and whatever their life felt like, however great life may have been for them, and all of a sudden the mountain has caved in. Humbling, right? That's a word, humbling. Pride does go before a fall. There's little doubt. God said so. And so many of us can be proud and can be haughty and can be judgmental, and we can think, my life's great. My life's great. Look at everything that I've done. And yet I keep looking at my life and I keep thinking about your life. Any of you, and I keep thinking about these people that are in our lives that really make our lives. By and large, it's not like we're in a cave somewhere. And yet I realize that everybody is so drawn in this day and age of social media awareness to really have an impact in the world. And I think we do. We all have an impact in the world. Does it mean that we impact the world universally? No. And I get that some people just seem to be so self-absorbed and so narcissistic that that seems to be their mission in life, right? They want to change the world. You have a world, and your world is pretty stinking small. But boy, it's pretty stinking important too. And I think it's important that we all realize that no matter the scope or the scale of our life, of our world, man alive, we are living our life out loud.
Hey, from where we always hide, it's no wonder that we're sinking down. Why should we stand in lonely shadows with so much light around? Hey, friend, why are we always cry? So many tears are gonna dry us out. Whatever they're selling, we our pockets are empty now. I've thought about it, and I've prayed about it out loud. And we can talk about it, we can pray about it
Mindy Smith, a 2006 record, Long Island Shores is the name of the record. The name of the song is Out Loud, and I've got a true confession to make. For the last couple of weeks as I've been battling this flu bug, and sicker than I've been ever in my adult life, I can promise you. I don't tend to run fever, but boy, with this flu, yeah, dude, you run fever. And I ran fever off and on for at least a week and did nothing but lay in bed. Didn't put headphones in, didn't listen to music, didn't eat, didn't watch TV, didn't do anything. Just laid in bed, miserable. But this song, that particular tune, and a number of others, it's funny the tunes that come to your mind and that just, they're just kind of on this endless loop. Maybe it doesn't work that way for you, but it does for me. There are these songs that just, I can wake up in the middle of the night. They're just on this endless loop, and they just play and they play and they play over and over. That song, Out Loud, was one of them, and it preoccupied me in thinking about today's show. Well, I wasn't thinking about so much today's show. I was just thinking about an episode in the future. It morphed into today's show. And thinking about Out Loud and thinking about communication and thinking about words that need to be said that maybe don't get said, words that should be written that maybe don't get written, thoughts and ideas and communications that just don't happen that should. I've long argued and I've long maintained I'm going to be the person. I am the person. And I'm going to leave the planet not having left much unsaid. I'm going to say too much. I'm going to be way more guilty of over-communicating than I am of under-communicating. And I understand that that's not how a lot of people roll. It's just, you know, it's how I roll. So that song Out Loud, it really, I can absolutely relate to it, you know, where she talks about praying out loud, communicating out loud. You know, I mean, say what's on your mind, say what's on your heart. And I think that fits in with this whole notion of I've almost had enough and something about you draws me back again. I would hope that you've got people in your life, and I would hope that you are for somebody and probably for a number of somebodies that you are that out loud person. I think of so many bad situations that have happened where people have had regrets of, you know, I didn't say this. I didn't tell them that. I should have, could have, would have done this, said this. And I know we don't always know what to say. I was talking with a friend the other day, and he's going through some really tough times. And we were just talking about our ability to help one another. Not he and I, just people in general. And I made a comment to him that I firmly believe. And I said, you know, most people just, they don't know what to say. They don't know what to say. And so many people will say something and it's not the right thing to say, but they're trying. And I don't judge them for that. I know some people do. I don't. I mean, I get that not everybody understands the moment. Not everybody's got the emotional intelligence to figure out. Sometimes less said is better, and I perfectly understand that. I'm not going to tell you that I'm always guilty of it, but I understand it. When I've almost had enough is significant in that you've had struggles and you've got trials and tribulation and you got mountains that feel like they're caving in on you, and you've had those things. And today is not a show of pessimism at all. Today is just a show that that's just... You're in grand company. You're in grand company. It feels lonely in your life. It doesn't feel lonely when you're watching the screen. It doesn't feel lonely when you're reading the book. But that's them. That's not you. And when it's you, it feels very lonely. Yeah, you're not alone. It's the human condition. But it is the story. Don't you see it? It is the story. The story of your 2-inch vertical wall or your 150-foot vertical wall is your story. It's your story. And I think we all just may as well build a bridge and get over it and embrace crafting our story. And I guess the big elephant in the room in all of this is the realization that you're writing the story. You feel like somebody else is writing the story. You feel as though you're this puppet and there's fate or there's whatever that's just happening to you and you have no ability at all, no choice in the matter. Completely crazy, and you know that. That's not leaning toward wisdom. Leaning toward wisdom is the realization that there's a lot of things that you're not in control of. That's not the point. The point is you're in complete control of your response and your reaction to these things that are beyond your control. When I've almost had enough, sometimes it's my own volitions, but largely it's not. Largely it's just circumstances. It's life. It's stuff. It's me getting the flu a couple of weeks ago. I didn't plan that. And it couldn't have come at a worse time, right? The end of a year, the beginning of another year. 40th wedding anniversary plans completely foiled, completely obliterated. What are you going to do about it? I can tell you what I did about it. I laid in bed and I kept thinking about music. And I kept hearing these songs play over and over in my head. Mindy Smith, 2006, Long Island Shores is the name of that record. Please stay. You've got people in your life that really is what they're pleading for you to please stay, and you want to be that person. You want to be a person that people are pleading with you to stay, because it's when people have almost had enough and something about you, and I mean you, something about you draws them back again, draws them back again into a place where they've got confidence and they've got some resoluteness. I guess resolve is the word, right? I'm thinking about fear. And it's interesting to me how we can observe the things that other people are so afraid of. Have you ever tried to kind of talk somebody off of a ledge? I don't mean a literal ledge, but you ever had a conversation with somebody and you've tried to encourage them to do something that in your mind doesn't seem all that bold, but you realize in their mind it just seems ridiculously bold? I was having a conversation a few weeks ago and was thinking about this. My oldest grandson, who's now 10, when he was, I don't know how old he was probably 4 or so, and thought he wanted to play soccer, and so mom and dad signed him up. And I've talked about this before, and I've even put some – there's some photographic evidence of the day that there was this game, and we could not get him on the field. I mean, he would not leave the sideline. And you got all these little kids out there, right? And it's just it's in hockey what we call herd hockey, right? Everybody's just following the ball. I mean, it's no big deal. They're little kids. They don't even understand the game. They're all just out there having a big time. Could not get him to go out there. I mean, no way, no how. Balling his head off, not going to go, won't go. Dad's trying to talk him into it. Mom's trying to talk him. Grandpa's here trying to talk him into it. And I'm just befuddled as I'm crouched down talking to this, I think he was four at the time. And I'm just trying to understand, what are you afraid of? And of course, he's four. He can't articulate it. He's just fearful. And you're looking at all these other kids, and there's just no fear at all. And you're like, there's something is going on here, right? I mean, this kid has got real fear. And we've seen all these, you know, all these word plays on the word fear. And one of the best ones, I think, one of the more accurate ones, is that fear really stands for false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. And it was just in that moment on that Saturday on that soccer field, it was apparent that for Max, he was mortified, completely horrified. He was not going out there. And it didn't matter what kind of logic was happening in our head, had no part in the matter at all. And it doesn't matter if we're four or we're 40 or we're 94. That's true. As I catch myself sometimes counseling and mentoring other people, particularly younger people, and trying to encourage them to take some bold step, a bold step for them. And I'm not Mr., you know, way outside the box kind of stuff, right? I mean, when I say bold, that probably is not even a third cousin to what some people would consider bold. But bold to me means taking some action that somebody has not ever taken before. And in their mind, they're like, oh, I can't tell you how many times I've been told by people as I've said, well, what have you ever tried or thought about doing this? Oh, no, I could never do that. As though you're challenging them to do something that is just so spectacularly beyond the realm of possibility for what they could do. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I mean, come on, excuse me. I'm kind of a natural introvert, and I'm thinking, it ain't that bold. It's not that big a deal. And usually it's easy for me to think, because I can think, even I would do something like this, but it's just funny what people are so afraid of. And then you start probing, and you start probing, and why wouldn't you do that? Oh, I could never do that. I could never do that. I could never bring myself to do that, people will tell me. Why? Well, I just couldn't. But if you did, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you try it? Oh, no, I couldn't do it. There's no way I could do it. I could never, ever do that. Why? What are you afraid of? What do you think would happen? Yeah, would this person pitch a wall-eyed fit? Would they? I mean, what do you think would happen? I'm curious. And I find in those moments that for most people, and isn't this true for you? It's true for me. What are you really afraid of? What are you really afraid that will happen? Usually we've not thought about it. I mean, the person that can't possibly consider taking some bold step certainly hasn't given it enough thought to think about, well, if I did do that, what could go wrong? But I want to kind of drag the focus here as we round the final quarter pole. Let's don't think about when we've almost had enough, let's think about being drawn back into the game again. And let's think about, okay, well, if I took some bold steps, what could go right? Because let's face it, you are where you are largely because you've been doing it the way you've been doing it. Well, I'm not going to poo-poo and tell you that what you've been doing is all wrong, but I don't know. What if you did do it different? Smith, 2006, Long Island Shores, I'm not the only one asking. She's not the only one asking. We're all asking. We're all asking this question. Maybe you're not giving it the conscious thought that you should. And that is asking the question, what if I were to be more bold? What if I were to not have less fear, because I don't know that. I mean, can we consciously make that decision? I don't know. Max, 4-year-old Max, or however old he was, he had whatever fear of all these kids playing soccer. You know, I don't know. Was he fearful that, well, I don't know what I'm doing? Completely oblivious to the fact that, well, these kids don't have a clue what they're doing either. So what difference does it make? Was he fearful of being foolish? Was he, I don't know. I have no idea, but it was real. It was very, very real for him. And your fear is very real for you. It's not so much don't have the fear. We were just trying to encourage him as the adults in his life, embrace it. Go out there anyway. Go out there anyway and experience it. I was reading something about And I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but they're really irrelevant because the gist of it simply is when people tell us what we should do, when people give us specific, you know, that kind of account, that kind of counsel, our ownership in that and our ability to learn is very incremental. I don't remember the percentages, but it seems to me that the author went through some percentages, and it seems to me that it was like 10% or something. So if I've got this challenge or this problem, so let's take Max and his playing soccer, and we're sitting here telling him, you know, what he should do. Unless he does it, unless he buys in, there's not much learning that's happening there. Well, duh. As the adults in his life, we could see that. We could see that Max sitting on the sideline being fearful of going into the soccer game, not having a clue what he was doing, completely, I guess, maybe mindless that these other kids, they had not one leg up on him. None of them had a clue what they were doing. And this is me projecting because I have no idea. I don't know. He was not able to articulate what he was afraid of. But now that he's older, now that I kind of got some sense of who he is as a human, more so than I did when he was four, he's a perfectionist, and he's kind of this and that. And so I can now connect some dots that I couldn't connect 6 years ago for what he might have been afraid of. But when people share an experience with us, and when people give us an encouragement, and then we take ownership and we experience something. So let's take Max, and we're encouraging him. You're afraid. We get that you're afraid. We understand that you're afraid. Go out there anyway. Had he gone out there anyway, what he would have learned and what he would have experienced is that it was much ado about nothing. We, as the adults in his life, knew that. We knew that if we could get him to go, now we never could get it done, but we knew that if we could, get him to go out there, that he could be captivated by the game and by just chasing this ball around like all the other kids and just join in the fun. We knew that. But he couldn't do it. Maybe better said, he wouldn't do it. Now, I don't know what stopped him, and I'm not judging a four-year-old, but you may be 40, you may be 64, you may be 94. You may be 104 for all I know. I feel like 104 right now. It's no different in your life. It's no different in my life. And yet, if we will go out and we will experience it, and yes, experience it for the first time. Take that bold action. And again, I'm not talking about getting crazy. It's just, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking of some things that I've encouraged people. You know, I mean, it's four-year-old Max going and playing soccer. It's advising other people in relationship things to just to be bold and to send somebody a signal that you care, that you might want a relationship that's deeper than any you've had before. And people are just mortified. They're just terrified. And you realize that it's worse than not being logical. It's not even thought about. We're just afraid. I'm going to stay afraid. That's life. And I ain't budging. I ain't moving. Well, that got you where you are. And maybe where you are is great and wonderful, and that's where you want to stay. And maybe you're not interested in what we talked about and how we ended last year. We're talking about growth and improvement and transformation. But growth and improvement and transformation are all the components that we have to have if we're going to lean toward wisdom. And if you lean toward wisdom, then we still want to lean toward greater wisdom. Smith, What If the World Stops Turning, a song off of Long Island Shores. Told you it was going to be a Mindy Smith intensive show, and let's put a wrapper on this, shall we? When I've almost had enough, something about you draws me back again. Something now we have morphed into the idea, perhaps, of boldness. It's as good a word as any, right? Boldness. I like the word, and I think it's a word that we should all embrace a little bit more. In our life, I was looking through, as I am wont to do at the end of a year, and for those of you that don't know, if you're not in the private Facebook group, you could be, and you could be watching a video of me doing today's show, and I'm holding up now, I've got a handful of, these are Phil Notes books, and these are my favorite little notebooks, and I'm holding in my grubby hands, five. I've got many more. And was just looking through some of these, and I don't know how far back these go. I've got some dates written here and there. And some of these go back. This one was begun on November the 3rd of 08. It's just kind of interesting. It's interesting to look back at the things that if you're like me, you journal and you write and you make these little notes of things, and sometimes they're little ideas that you thought about and maybe you never acted on them. And I look back and some of them, they seem just completely ridiculous now. And yet I realize, as ridiculous as they are, I never did try it. Wonder why I didn't try it. Talk myself out of it. And then there's other little snippets of things that seem kind of comical. I wrote down the 4-step process for determining who you want to be. You interested in that? Step one, start with what you know. Step two, determine what kind of work you enjoy. Step three, decide which categories of people you enjoy working with. Step four, determine who has money to give you, meaning customers. I don't know when I wrote that. I don't know even necessarily why I wrote that, but I did. So there. Again, this is going back to 08. And it's funny how I can look at some of these things and I can realize I've had so many instances and so many moments and so many years and so many days and weeks and months and hours of almost having enough, and something draws me back. And yet, this is the kicker, and this is where I really want to kind of wind it down. And yet, in so many cases, things just don't tend to change, do they? I mean, does it feel like your life is that much different? And maybe you don't feel like your life has had the growth. Maybe it hasn't had the improvement. Maybe you haven't achieved the things that you really would have liked to have achieved. And it could be, kids, it just could be that false evidence appearing real, that fear that has paralyzed you continues to paralyze you because Maybe that's the thing. Maybe when you've almost had enough, something about you draws me back again. Maybe that's what's drawing you back again. Maybe it's not a person who's encouraging you to be bold. Maybe it's your comfort zone to just stay wrapped up in your fear. Could be. You don't want to be bold because you're afraid. And what you're afraid of is, I already know what you're afraid of. And you know what you're afraid of. You just haven't thought about it enough, maybe. Because what you're really afraid of is the unknown. The truth is, you don't know where your boldness might lead, and nor do I. I know where what I've done already, I know where that leads. Been there, done it, bought the t-shirt, as they say. But it's these choices that I haven't made. It's these actions that I haven't taken. These are the things that I'm fearful of. These are the moments where I feel like I've almost had enough. I've just had enough. Well, what have you had enough of? I think it's perfectly suitable, and I think it's perfectly positive for us to say, I've had enough of not being bold. I've had enough of having this fear and embracing this fear. And the fear's great, and it's wonderful, and it protects us, and think it through, and yeah. But keep you on the sideline? Is it worth keeping you on the sideline? Or is it worth just going ahead and facing the fear, leaning into it, leaning into wisdom? See what happens. See where it takes you. No point to almost have had enough. You haven't had enough. You still got life. A lot of things to do. It's a brand new year, kids.
I need peace of mind and a hopeful heart to lose this rage and move out in the dark. I ain't looking for rainbows or shooting stars, just some peace of mind and a hopeful
Mindy Smith, 2006, Long Island Shores, Peace of Mind. And that's what I want for you, peace of mind and a hopeful heart. We've embraced a new year, nothing magical about it. It's date, flip the calendar. But I think you should have had enough by now. I think you should have had enough of letting fear trap you. I think you should have had enough of not being bold, not taking some chances. See what happens. You don't have to be super risky. Just be bold. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. Greetings and welcome and Happy New Year from inside the Yellow Studio.
Or a miracle. This broken soul, a little miracle for this broken soul.
Let's do one more Mindy Smith song, shall we? This is from a 2009 record. The name of the record is Stupid Love. The name of the song is Highs and Lows. Enjoy.